This truck season, think about all the things you can do in a Chevy truck. You'll be able to... Or you can... You can even just... With impressive towing, functionality, and power, Chevy trucks have what you need to get things done. When you want to do it all, Chevy's got you. Click to learn more. Visit ChevyDealOnline.com.
Is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis, Intelligent Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Former President Donald Trump has announced on Truth Social he has agreed to debate Vice President Kamala Harris. It'll happen on Wednesday, September 4th. The former president accepted an offer from Fox News to host that event. Former U.S. Senator Jim Talent says in the run-up to the November election, you can expect the mainstream media to ignore the faults of the Biden-Harris administration, including the border, inflation, and crime.
Forget about all that. If you don't vote for Kamala, you're weird, and we're going to treat you like you're weird, and you don't want to be weird, do you?
Vice President Harris has secured enough votes from Democratic delegates to become her party's presidential nominee. The online voting process does not officially end until Monday. Friday's report from the Labor Department showed employers added just 114,000 jobs in July, fewer than the 175,000 that had been expected. This is SRN News.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka always gets the big guests.
My former boss, the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Are you confident that this election, at least, will be secure and fair?
They've cheated for many years, decades, I hear. So they're going to try and rig it. I have no doubt about it. They've been doing it for years.
America First with Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Afternoons at 2 on AM 1280. The Patriot. Intelligent Radio.
My name is John Richardson, and I am from Vadnais Heights, Minnesota. Well, there was a big hailstorm that came through the neighborhood, and my roof was severely damaged, and I knew I needed new shingles. Well, there were a lot of people who came through the neighborhood. Every 10 or 15 minutes, people would be knocking on my door saying they would help me repair the roof. JTR, I dealt with them before, and they immediately called me and said that they would meet with my insurance company, assess all the damage, and make sure that my roof was repaired properly. Within 2 days, they had the job finished. One of the things I noticed about the workers was that they, as they did the job, they would clean up and make sure that all the debris was picked up. I think the best part about JTR was when they took a look at my shingles and they made sure the insurance company knew that they were architectural shingles, not just your normal shingles on a house. JTR Roofing did everything and more that I asked them to do. They did a great job. Call them. They will come out and take care of everything you need, and they are really professional.
From breaking news and weather across the country to insight from the brightest minds in conservative opinion, it's Salem News Channel, home to the biggest shows on TV, like Hugh Hewitt weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, followed by Mike Gallagher at 9. Join SNC, where facts are sacred, critical thinking is celebrated, and the pursuit of truth is unwavering. Watch Salem News Channel free now on Zumo Play. Learn more at snc.tv/Zumo.
The Caribbean is calling. Dennis Prager here. I invite you to join me on a Bible cruise this November in the Caribbean. Imagine 9 days of basking in the sun surrounded by the stunning beauty of a tropical paradise. We'll cruise to the vibrant islands of Half Moon Cay, Curaçao, Bonaire, and more while making unforgettable memories with like-minded travelers. Stroll through Curaçao's iconic pastel-colored shops and snorkel in Bonaire's world-class coral reefs. You'll enjoy some of the most delicious cuisine aboard Holland America's Rotterdam, a fantastic destination itself with riveting shows and spectacular views. This experience is more than a vacation. It's a chance to participate in profound discussions. The fresh insights I will share with you about the books of the Bible and current events should energize and challenge you. Mark your calendars November 29th to December 8th, 2024. Learn more and secure your spot on this once-in-a-lifetime adventure by calling 855-565-5519 or booking online at PragerBibleCruise.com.
Have you filed for disability benefits but were denied by the Social Security Administration? Or do you need to apply and are overwhelmed with paperwork? Are you between the ages of 50 and 63 and can no longer work because of an illness or injury? Thousands of hardworking Americans are in your situation. They file for disability benefits and are unnecessarily denied their much-needed benefit check. Call now for a no-obligation, free evaluation. We can help you nearly double your chances of approval and get your benefit checks faster. We understand the physical, emotional, and financial impact. We'll share our insider expertise and help you get your disability claim filed and paid immediately. There is a time limit to apply, so call right now. Operators are standing by to help you.
800-296-1553. 800-296-1553. 800-296-1553. That's 800-296-1553.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
This is Open Your Eyes Radio with Dr. Kerry Gelb.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Kerry Gelb, and welcome to Wellness 1280 on Open Your Eyes Radio. Please listen as I discuss the newest information in the world of health, nutrition, and sports every Saturday morning, 6 a.m. Central Time on AM 1280, The Patriot. Also, please share your thoughts by emailing me at drkerrygelb@gmail.com. That's drkerrygelb@gmail.com. And visit my new website, wellness1280.com, where we have all guest links, Wellness 1280 info, and previous shows. Wellness is taking over the Patriot Airways for the next hour. So sit back and enjoy my conversation with Dr. Heather Sanderson. In 2024, an estimated 6.9 million Americans, age 65 and older, are living with Alzheimer's disease, the most common form of dementia, and the number is expected to triple by 2060. Conventional medicine has no cure and provides little hope, and at best, medication could only slightly slow the progression. Today's guest, California naturopathic physician, Dr. Heather Sanderson. Dr. Sanderson's research, along with other researchers, have shown cognitive decline can be improved using a multimodal approach, which includes diet, lifestyle, supplements, and many other factors. Dr. Sanderson's groundbreaking book, now on the New York Times best-selling list, Reversing Alzheimer's, gives the reader a simple and easy roadmap to preventing and reversing dementia, improving memory and cognition. Dr. Sanderson is also the founder of Solseri Health Clinic and Morama, the first residential care facility for the elderly of its kind. Dr. Heather Sanderson, thank you for joining me today on Wellness 1280, Open Your Eyes Radio with Dr. Kerry Gelb.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Sanderson. I'm very interested in your work. I'm very interested in the work of Dr. Bredesen. You know, as an optometrist, I see a lot of patients that are getting Alzheimer's disease. We use technology called OCT, which can sometimes pick up nonspecific signs of Alzheimer's. We'll see thinning of the macula on the OCT. It's called ocular coherent tomography. And it uses waves, light waves, to be able to slice the retina into different sections. And we could start to see thinning of the choroidal vessels, which are the little blood vessels inside the choroid of the eye, which shows that vessels are dropping out. If they're starting to drop out in the eye, they could most likely, because the eye and the brain are similar, they could be dropping out in the brain. And the nerves, because it's a combination of a nerve disease, a vascular disease, and we're going to talk about the different causes, possible causes of dementia. And we could see it in the eye very early. But I want to ask you, is it true that we can now start to stop or even possibly reverse dementia or Alzheimer's?
You know, I know it's a bold statement. My book is called Reversing Alzheimer's. And I talked to the publisher when we were discussing the title, and it was like, can we do this? Can we say this? And the reason I feel so confident is because I've seen it happen in my patients and my coaching clients and in our residents at Morama over and over and over again. It doesn't just happen occasionally. It happens regularly. And to your point, early detection using the eyes, the nose, ears, right? Our sense organs are this extension of our central nervous system, are an extension of our brain. And we can when we can detect this disease process early on, we have much more confidence that we can get a reversal of the disease process, of the pathophysiological process leading to neurodegeneration. If we wait until the end stage, although we've seen miracles happen many times, it's definitely not guaranteed. There's a ton of suffering that happens along that path leading towards significant dementia. That why not? Why not get started earlier? I think most people have heard the refrain over and over again, there's nothing you can do for Alzheimer's or dementia. They might have even heard this from a well-meaning neurologist. But we know now through Dr. Bredesen's work and much of the research that's being done on lifestyle interventions that there is almost an overwhelming amount that we can do to support neurocognitive function as we age. And so I love this idea of sort of combining this early detection that we can get through looking into the eyes, through there are smell tests that are being proposed to use as an inexpensive way to pick up early Alzheimer's. And then we also know that the ears, one of the modifiable risk factors when it comes to dementia is supporting hearing. If you're going through hearing loss, if you're experiencing hearing loss, getting hearing aids and treating that reduces your risk of developing dementia over time.
You know, you've done a groundbreaking study which shows that we could reverse dementia or slow it down by close to 75%. Dr. Bredesen in the 80s, 84%. Can you review those two studies with me?
Yes, and absolutely. I'm also going to add one more that came out in June of 2024. So in 2022, Dr. Bredesen and his team, led by Kat Toops, they published a clinical trial that included 25 participants who they took through a 9-month intervention. This was an aggressive intervention, right? 9 months, they threw everything at it, diet, lifestyle. They did all of the functional medicine precision-based testing, looking for toxins, infections, nutrient imbalances, gut issues, you name it. They looked and they corrected it wherever they could. And what they saw, they took patients who had MoCA scores down to 19. So the MoCA is the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, and it's a simple tool that's free. The PDF is available online. It's easy to administer. A tech can do it. You don't need a doctor or nurse to do it.
And, it's a memory test.
It's a memory test. Many people will have heard of this, right? There are presidents who refer to it and say they got perfect scores. And what you do is you identify zoo animals, you draw a clock, copy a cube, identify where you are in time and space, and it's out of 30. So perfect score is 30, normal is 26 and above. They took participants who have had cognitive impairment with MoCA scores down to 19. So again, 25 participants, 9-month intervention, Dr. Bredesen's approach, with MoCA scores down to 19, and 84% of participants improved their cognitive function. So for most people with declining cognition, what we expect is a 3-point drop in the MoCA score per year, per 12 months. That's 2 to 3 points is average decline. What they saw was an improvement. So it went in the other direction in just 9 months. A year later, I was able to publish, we were doing these studies at the same time on parallel tracks. I actually didn't know Dr. Bredesen when I got funding for my trial and when we got IRB approved and we were able to get started. And so I didn't have a dialogue with him around it, but I happened to essentially design a very, very similar trial based on my clinical experience, putting his information and his training to work in my office. So we took 23 participants through a 6-month intervention, and we took participants with MoCA scores between 12 and 23. So again, they took participants with MoCA scores down to 19. As you get closer to zero, that's worsening cognitive impairment, and normal is 26 and above, perfect is 30. So our participants have MoCA scores of 12 to 23, so more advanced dementia. And we included participants who had diagnoses of Alzheimer's. And what we saw there was with a shorter intervention, just six months, we saw that 74% of them improved. And we had statistically significant increases in the mean cognitive scores, both on Cambridge Brain Sciences and the MoCA testing, across all of our participants, and also statistically significant improvements in quality of life and sleep.
And so what did they see exactly? Was memory getting a lot better? Was it getting a little bit better? What were we seeing? Was it, learning easier? Could they do simple tasks better?
Precisely, all of the above. So we saw statistically significant improvements in overall composite cognition, memory specifically, but also improvements in verbal ability, reasoning, focus, and other cognitive tests that we did. Across the board, we saw improvements. Not all were statistically significant, but across the board, we saw improvements in quality of life and their ability to take on day-to-day tasks. Now, there's a third study that just came out in June of 2023 was done by Dr. Dean Ornish. And this was a lifestyle intervention, and it was just 5 months, but it was a randomized controlled trial. So they compared one intervention group to a control group. And what they saw was, again, when we apply these lifestyle interventions to people with who already have mild cognitive impairment or early dementia due to Alzheimer's disease, we see improvements in their cognitive function.
I mean, this is really fantastic. This should be on the front page of the New York Times.
Yes.
that there are things that can be done to help slow or even reverse Alzheimer's, where people have these very low scores, maybe a 3 or a 4, and to be able to get them to be able to do simple, to be able to do tasks, to enjoy their family. This is Dr. Kerry Gelb. I'm with Dr. Heather Sanderson, and we're talking about dementia. When I get back from the break, we're going to talk about some of the specific things you could do. We'll be right back.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot, being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit openyoureyesradio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at openyoureyesradio.com.
Well, summer is upon us and the weather is beautiful. Everyone has a favorite outdoor activity. Golf, bike riding, bird watching, long walks. Ask 100 people and you'll get 100 answers. But if everyday aches and pains are keeping you on the sidelines, I have one answer. Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. Wherever you're hurting, back, neck, joints, or muscles, in 3 weeks or less, you'll start to feel the difference all day, every day. So whatever you like to do, swimming, pickleball, hanging out in the garden, Relief Factor can help you feel good again and let you enjoy all your favorite outdoor activities all summer long. ReliefFactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-473-5433. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot, being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit openyoureyesradio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at openyoureyesradio.com.
We're back with Dr. Heather Sanderson. Her book, Reversing Alzheimer's, is now on the New York Times best-selling list. Congratulations to you on that. And, you know, you have done some great work to help people in memory care and extended memory care. Can you talk a little bit about your facility and how we could ask people around the country to join in and look at Dr. Bredesen's work and your work to help people who need memory care?
Yeah, so our goal is to turn memory care into memory recovery and help people who are in independent living or maybe even assisted living who kind of are looking at that potential of going into memory care, that there might be an alternative. There might be another way to do this. And what we've done at Marama is created an immersive experience in Dr. Bredesen's approach. And our goal is to get more people access to this by partnering with people who already own and operate a existing senior living facilities across the country. No one wants to go into memory care. No one wants to go into assisted living, right? If you ask someone, usually people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, they say, take me out in the back and shoot me, right? Before you put me in a home like that, I would rather do anything else. I don't want to have to pay for it. I don't want to be a burden on my family. I don't want other people to have to, I don't want to lose my dignity in that way. And so an opportunity to go a different direction and go towards memory recovery is so exciting. And what we've seen is that we can get those outcomes, particularly when people move in before they actually need memory, full memory care. But it is really on these foundations of four pillars at Marama that we employ there. And this is, again, this immersive experience in Dr. Bredesen's approach, where we have an organic ketogenic diet. So very low in processed foods, almost no processed foods, and very low in carbohydrates, so that we start burning fat for fuel in the brain. This allows the brain to get more energy, more resource, so that we can do those creative tasks, execute those plans that we have, and reason and remember the names of our loved ones. So organic ketogenic diet is one.
Tell me, on the ketogenic diet, what does that involve? Does that mean people have to eat fat all day long, or are they eating coconut oil all day long? What does it involve?
Yeah, you know, there was a recent trial that told us that having MCT or medium chain triglycerides or the coconut oil that MCT is found in can improve cognitive function just using 1 to 2 tablespoons a day. So it's something that even without getting into ketosis and reducing your carbohydrates, you can get started by just taking 1 or 2 tablespoons of coconut oil each day. And that can help in multiple ways, but primarily by sending those medium chain triglycerides into the system, which become beta hydroxybutyrate or the form of ketones that our brain likes to burn as fuel. So again, we can use that instead of carbohydrates, sugar, glucose, which can be used interchangeably and burned as fuel. As we age, all of us end up with some sort of insulin resistance and difficulty turning glucose into ATP or that fuel our cells run on. But our bodies and our brains are just so divinely designed and incredible to me. We are like hybrid engines. We can just flip the switch. And if we restrict carbohydrates enough, we can start burning ketones for fuel. This creates less oxidative stress. It's actually detoxifying. It reduces inflammation. And we're more efficient at burning it and turning it into ATP. So we actually have more resource available. And so we see that in patients, they'll go from not remembering their grandchildren's names to 3-4 days later, knowing all of their names and birthdays. I mean, it's just miraculous. It's pretty amazing.
What should people cook with? What kind of oil?
So coconut oil, avocado oil on higher heat, olive oil, the high polyphenol olive oil, if you are like putting on salad dressings and things like that. Butter and ghee are also okay on higher heat. And those are my favorites.
And so what kind of foods should people be eating on the diet? Is fish okay? I mean, because fish has a lot of mercury in it, so, and mercury can increase your risk of memory loss. So
mercury.
How do we navigate the fish part? Organic turkey and chicken, grass-fed, pasture-raised, meats, everything, one ingredient, vegetables, stay away from sugars. But explain to me about the fish part, because I know that's on a ketogenic diet, but how do we navigate with the mercury?
Yeah, great point. Mercury is highly neurotoxic. We want to make sure we're not consuming that through fish. And the way to do that is to focus on the smash fish. So wild-caught salmon, mackerel, herring, sardines, and anchovies. I might have gotten the acronym there mixed up, but you get the point. The SMASH is the acronym, and those are the fish that will work. You want to get cold water fish that are high in omegas. If you can stomach anchovies and sardines, those are amazing for you. If you don't like the flavor, then that wild caught salmon is a great idea. Farm salmon tends to be injected with antibiotics. They're fed corn, not in their natural habitat, not their natural diet. And not only are they not good for you, they actually can be bad for you. So I would recommend avoiding all farm salmon. And then avoid tuna, shark, swordfish. These are all going to be particularly high in mercury. And then a standard day on a ketogenic diet might look like an egg breakfast. So skip the toast, but have a few eggs with some avocado or some salsa. You can mix this up. And I like to think of like going around the world. So you can have eggs every morning for breakfast, but you might have an Asian style egg one day. You might have Italian, like some tomato and basil on your eggs the next day. And then the next day it might be more Mexican inspired, right? And it'll be cilantro and a salsa. And so you can have the foundation of your diet be the same and get those great macronutrients, the fat and the protein in, but change up the flavor because spices can be used as medicine as well. And then also, I'm someone who likes to eat different food every day. I really like the variety. So eggs are a great keto breakfast, but we also have keto oatmeal. Some people are allergic to eggs or they don't tolerate eggs. There are lots and lots of different options. And then
to interrupt you for one second about eggs. People a lot of times will eat an egg white omelet. They think it's healthy. Should they eat the yolk or not?
So choline is in eggs, and egg yolk in particular, and choline is really crucially important. This is acetylcholine is one of the most abundant neurotransmitters in the brain. One of the common medications for Alzheimer's or early dementia is donepezil or Aricept. This is an acetylcholinesterase inhibitor. It's actually the goal with that is to increase the amount of acetylcholine in the brain. Eggs are a great source of choline. And so I recommend eat the whole egg. If you're worried about cholesterol, getting on a ketogenic diet is a great way to reduce your triglycerides. And you actually start burning fat for fuel. In the first few months, you can see your cholesterol go up. So don't let your cardiologist be totally alarmed. Take a minute, stay in ketosis for about 6 months, make sure you're having plenty of fiber, and you will see a lot of those most risky cardiovascular numbers resolve, particularly if you get the carbohydrates out. When we have high fat and high sugar together, this is like the milkshake diet, which leads to a heart attack. It leads to vascular spasm, inflammation. This is really bad for us. But if we're having non-processed foods that are high in those good fats that we talked about, butter, ghee, grass-fed butter, ghee, olive oil, avocado oil, coconut oil, of course, these are really good for us and actually help to bring down our inflammatory levels and optimize our cardiovascular markers.
How long when people start these type of programs, and we're going to talk about the exercise, the stress, all the other things that are needed before you start seeing some improvement in patients?
Yeah. So, I have been surprised. I came to Dr. Bredesen's work. I was trained by him and I was a total skeptic. I did not think that I could help people get better because I had been told over and over again by my instructors, people who I had a ton of respect for, that it wasn't possible. And now we see sometimes in a month, people are coming back and I see them already doing better. They're not 100% better. They're not necessarily going back to work or back to, all of their activities of daily living, but there's improvements. And then after 6 months, 12 months, we're seeing actually more and more and more improvement. I remember reaching out to Dr. Bredesen about 2 years into our experiment, essentially at Marama. We opened in 2020. And about 2 years later, we had this woman who'd been there for the whole time. And I was like, she's still getting better. How is she still getting better? I thought she would get a little bit better and then plateau. And Dr. Bredesen was like, of course, it's synergistic. Once her neurons are better, now she has synaptogenesis and it starts building. It continues to build. And if she's in the right environment, getting the right nutrients, getting the right engagement, of course, she'll continue to get better. So we're really at the early stages. Dr. Bredesen published a paper showing that people who started this 10 years ago still have maintained and sustained their optimal cognitive function. So we know that when you put this to work, it can work for a long time. The issue is when you fall off the wagon. When you stop doing it, it stops working.
People lose gray matter when they're getting dementia, about 4% per year, a little bit over. I guess the average person loses maybe 1.5% per year. But in some of the studies, it showed that gray matter actually improved. They actually showed improvement in gray matter.
It's true. Yeah. And Dr. Bredesen's paper that was published in 2022, they saw improvements on imaging.
I mean, that's amazing. Again, I mean, that should be on the front page of every newspaper.
When you compare it to the images of people who are on these monoclonal antibody therapies, their brains look like they age 100 years in 6 weeks. It is wild. Like if you were just to show patients, this is your, this is your brain on drugs. If you were to show people before and after pictures of the brains of people who do Dr. Bredesen's, his protocol versus those who do the monoclonal antibody therapies, no one would have a question about what was better for the brain.
Yeah, I've interviewed Dr. Bredesen, and you could find him on my Open Your Eyes podcast, and that was a great interview. And we just replayed it not too long ago. And Dr. Bredesen, you know, he just wants people to get better and help people that have this horrible disease. I mean, I never met somebody who just loves people and wants to help people the way he does. I want to ask you, you mentioned spices. Are there any specific spices that people should have?
Yeah, so curcumin is well known to reduce inflammation. Much of Alzheimer's is associated with inflammation. And so adding some curcumin with black pepper and with fat, typically that helps to have it be absorbed readily. It also helps support BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factors. So whenever you get an opportunity to add more turmeric or curcumin onto something, I'm a go, I'm a yes. Rosemary is also a Western herb that's associated with memory and cognitive function. It's also antimicrobial. And we know that microbes, particularly herpes simplex virus 1, P. gingivalis, which is associated with gingivitis, Lyme spirochetes, as well as COVIDs potentially can all increase our risk for developing Alzheimer's and dementia. And so having spices on board, these Mediterranean spices like oregano, lavender, rosemary, all help to reduce our risk of those microbes getting out of control and help with that healthy brain-gut connection by enhancing a healthy gut microbiome.
I'm speaking with Dr. Heather Sanderson. We're talking about dementia and how we can help people that are starting to get dementia. You just don't wake up with dementia. And it takes about 20 years for it to happen. We'll be back after the break.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter, Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MiSight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
The institutions use the markets to create income and get better returns for their investors. They are consistent year after year using tools that most people know nothing about. Learn the skills to invest and trade with the institutions at a free investing class in our local Twin City Center or virtually at 952-814-4410. Discover the tools the institutions use daily at Online Trading Academy, 952-814-4410. Or go to learnwithota.com.
Join Gene Sullivan each week on Where You Live, where he takes on... Gene, who do you take on anyway?
Maniacal landlords, slippery renters, overbearing HOA boards, demanding homeowners. Oh, and the legislative lunacy brought on by local politicians wanting to fix everything for us.
It's a common sense perspective on the news and stories that affect you the most, right where you live. Join Gene Sullivan every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter, Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MiSight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
We're back. This is Dr. Kerry Gell for Open Your Eyes Radio, and we're back with Dr. Heather Sanderson. Dr. Sanderson, our goal is to help people that are starting to get dementia, helping to reverse it. She showed studies that it can be reversed, and she's teaching us what we could do to help us reverse it. Pick up our book, Reversing Alzheimer's, now on the New York Times best-selling list. Congratulations, Heather, on that. That's great news.
Thank you so much.
So we're back. We were talking about the pillars that you use. We did pillar one. Let's go to pillar number two.
Yeah, so pillar one is that organic ketogenic diet. Pillar two is exercise and brain engagement. These are the activities that we do every day. So at Marama, what we encourage and what we have enough staff for is to keep someone's loved one, right? Or if you're sending your mom off to memory care, you want her to be engaged, not stuck in front of a TV all day, checked out or isolated in her room, but actually engaged in creative activities that she's fired up about, or gardening, or engaging with animals or other people, puzzles. And then, of course, exercise. We know that the brain needs exercise, both strength training and vigorous physical aerobic exercise. And we recommend about 200 minutes a week. You'll see recommendations between 150 to 300, but we kind of say 200 minutes, 4 days a week, getting about an hour of each of those days of exercise, but some combination of aerobic and strength training. Now, there's a third type of exercise that I want to throw in.
Where's Marama located, by the way?
So we have a location in San Diego and then another location in Wichita, Kansas. And we're looking to expand across the country because no one wants to send mom to San Diego if you live in New York. And we have lots of people who have done that, who have moved from Florida and from New York and from Hawaii and from all over the country to be at these locations because we're the only ones doing this. But our goal is to start partnering with existing senior living facilities so that we can start getting access to people closer to the homes so they can keep going to their own church and seeing their families and their grandkids. That's really what that phase of life is about, is still being engaged and active in your community. And so we want to bring Dr. Bredesen's work to the place where people need it most, which is these assisted living or senior living facilities where you can be in community, still contributing to your family and the people you love most. And so we have
What's a special type of exercise you were about to tell us?
Yeah. So this is dual task. Dual as in D-U-A-L, two things at the same time. Cognitive engagement at the same time as physical engagement. This might be as simple as going for a walk and talking to someone that you love about something engaging. Or it might be going to a class where you're cued by an instructor, a Pilates class or a Zumba class or a jazzercise class, where you've got to keep up with where is my right foot going while my left arm is doing what. That keeps us cognitively engaged. And what we see is we get even more benefit for every minute we spend exercising if there's cognitive engagement happening at the same time. So if you aren't already doing that, it's a good idea to put that into your weekly exercise routine. So again, the pillars, one, organic ketogenic diet. Number two is engaging exercises and activities. You want to lean into the things you love because we don't want this to be something you just do next week. We want it to be something that you want to do for the rest of your life, whether it's writing an autobiography or if it's creating puzzles or creating some sort of birdhouse, right? There's so many things that you can do that are creative and engaging. Cooking is a great example. They're learning a new language, music. There are lots of ways to engage the brain, but I encourage people to focus on the things that you enjoy so that they become part of your routine, part of your habit, part of your identity. So organic ketogenic diet, brain engaging activities and exercise, and then the environment. So environment, this applies to cognition in a few different ways. One, we want a non-toxic environment. So get rid of the nonstick, make sure your water isn't full of lead and mercury and all kinds of stuff that's going to be toxic to your brain. Make sure there's not mold or water damage in your house. Make sure that your cleaning products are non-toxic and they aren't contributing to neurotoxicity in the brain. And then also, we can think about our environment as something that impacts our behavior. So is our living room set up so that when we walk in the door, we just automatically turn on the TV, kick our feet up and check out? Or are there books? Is there a comfortable place to have a dialogue with someone you enjoy? Are there fun puzzles? What is there to do that's set up that's easy to do? Is it easy for you to go outside quickly? Or is it uncomfortable outside? Are you likely to get a sunburn? Is it too hot out there? Is it not secure and safe? Is it easy for your trip? Is your environment set up? And what behaviors does it encourage? Is there a bunch of cookies and cakes on the kitchen counter so that whenever you walk into the kitchen, it's easy to mindlessly pick some of that up and eat it? Or do you have healthy ketogenic fruits and veggies and things that are going to be brain healthy foods that are easy and accessible? We can also think about clutter. Clutter tends to add to that underlying level of stress and anxiety. And especially when we've, you know, raised kids in a home and we've been there for 30 years, maybe 50 years, we've been there for a long time, stuff accumulates. And so to being mindful about what our surroundings, what our environment looks and feels like, and how that changes our behavior and our mood is just part of the invitation and something that we take very seriously at Marama and at our senior living locations. We make sure that it's sort of a zen-like environment that really enhances that ability to connect socially with our peers.
I want to ask you about water. How in these facilities are they filtering the water to make sure that these older people are getting clean water that's not toxic?
Yeah, so we have Mountain Valley spring water trucked in glass for the most part. Now, if that isn't accessible, it's not delivered everywhere all over the country, although it's delivered in a lot of places through distributors. You can also go to findaspring.com, and sometimes they will have good spring water that's not contaminated that's available. And you want to make sure that you bottle it in glass because plastic will leach into the water. Another alternative is reverse osmosis water. And so that's a way to filter the water. However, it does take all of the minerals out. So you want to make sure that you're replacing minerals so it doesn't leach out of your bones. And with RO water, depending on where you are in the country, you're going to, and what filter you get, you're going to waste, for every gallon of reverse osmosis water you create, you're going to waste 2 to 4 gallons. And so if you're in the desert, it sometimes doesn't make as much sense and the cost goes up pretty quickly.
And what minerals do people that are starting to get dementia, what kind of minerals do they need? Are they usually deficient in?
Yeah, so we recommend using sea salt as a great mineral replacement because it's naturally occurring. It's in the ratios that you mostly need it. Outside of that, I would test. I would test with your provider because deficiencies in zinc or zinc and copper ratios that start to get off too high copper with lower zinc, that can affect your immune system, your mood, and your cognition. Magnesium is another common deficiency, as is potassium and manganese. So we want to look at those ratios and understand what's there. But if you're guessing, if you haven't had those tests done, then you can go ahead and use sea salt as a mineral replacement. And I recommend about 1/4 teaspoon per gallon of water.
Do we have to worry about sea salt because the water is contaminated?
The microplastics.
Yeah, just like the fish that we were talking about before.
It's so hard. You know, I tend to get the real salt from Utah, and I don't know if there's a way to completely eliminate all of the toxic exposure. We live in a toxic world, and instead of getting, you know, too wrapped up in the things that we don't have control over, I try to focus on making sure, are you having a bowel movement every day? Are you drinking plenty of clean filtered water? You know, it's as clean as you can get it or find it, you have access to. Are you sweating regularly so that you can get those toxins out? Are you supporting your liver with good foods like beets and artichokes? And you can take supplements that help to replenish those nutrients that the liver needs. And then breath work, exhaling is another way that we get rid of toxins. This is why a breathalyzer works for people who have been drinking. So having a daily breath work practice can be another helpful way to eliminate toxicity.
How about Himalayan salt?
Yeah, so Himalayan salt, Celtic sea salt, Hawaiian salt, real salt from Utah. There are lots of these different naturally occurring salts, and those are the ones that I recommend. And I think you can use them interchangeably and you can spend as much as you want. There are very fancy salts out there and there are more affordable ones.
Okay, you can keep going on number 4, I think we're up to.
Our last pillar is the caregiving. So on the Bredesen protocol, there's a lot of supplements and sometimes medications, hormone replacement or detox support. And these take a lot. It can feel like a full-time job to manage the prescription refills. And am I getting it at the right time or with food or without food? This can start to feel like a lot. And so our staff is really well-trained to make sure that you're getting those supplements and medications exactly the way that your doctor wants you to, exactly the way they intend every single time. The other really crucial component to how we train our caregivers is that their expectation is that our residents will improve. And we interact differently with people when we expect them to get better versus when we expect them to be getting worse. And so that is just a huge part of why our program works, why we've seen that our newest facility in Kansas, of the 6 people who have been there more than 6 months, 5 of them have cognitively improved measurably.
Well, that's terrific. Now, there's 11 million people that are unpaid caregivers in the country. And those people are also at risk of getting dementia, like a 3 to 4 times greater risk. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, so the literature is actually anywhere from 2.5 to 6 times more likely to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's or dementia later in their life compared to those who never serve as caregivers. And men, the male spouses of a female partner with dementia, are at the highest risk. And I think that this is because of the stress. Cortisol becomes toxic to the hippocampus, the memory center of the brain, when it's up too high for too long. And caregivers, they're under an extreme amount of burden, right? Financial burden. It's very expensive to care for someone with dementia. It's also very exhausting, right? It's physically exhausting. And it's emotionally bankrupting, right? And there's this, sometimes dementia sufferers, they're compared to children because they become dependent on us. But I have a 5-year-old. I know that every year she's getting more and more independent. I know what to expect for her milestones and what's going to happen next. And as long as she's healthy, she's on her trajectory to be living on her own at 18 or 19, right? When you have a spouse or a parent with dementia, a loved one with dementia, you don't know if this is going to last a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. There's so much that is so unpredictable, and you don't know what they're going to lose next. And there's this grief that comes with that each day when you lose a little piece of that loved one.
You know, I've had many patients that have taken care of, they were caretakers for their husband, or, you know, the husband taking care of their wife, and they seem so miserable, the caregiver. But when the patient dies, they get even more miserable. They're so unhappy. Well, this is Dr. Kerry Gelb. We're talking with Dr. Heather Sanderson. Sorry to be to end on that note, but we'll be back right after this.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter, Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot, being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MiSight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
When addiction takes hold, it's easy to feel like no one can help. But you're not in this alone. For 75 years, Hazelden Betty Ford has been at the forefront of addiction and mental health care, evolving treatment, reimagining recovery, and breaking through barriers to help families everywhere find healing. So please reach out at 855-489-2383. Help is here. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation and aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
When should you start collecting your Social Security? How you answer this question will be the difference in the success or failure of your retirement. Tune in to Money Matters with Al and Mike this week. They'll be sharing Social Security tips with you. From the basics of the program to strategies to maximize your Social Security payments, Al and Mike will help you sort out this important but often misunderstood part of your retirement income plan. Listen to Money Matters with Al and Mike, noon Saturday on AM 1280 The Patriot, or call them at 855-231-6010.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter, Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot, being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MiSight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
This is Dr. Kerry Gill, and we're back with Open Your Eyes Radio on Wellness Radio, AM 1280 The Patriot, and we're speaking with Dr. Heather Sanderson. We're talking about dementia, and before the break, we're actually talking about something that's a very sensitive type of situation, because I was saying how I have a number of patients who have cared for somebody who had really bad Alzheimer's toward the end, very bad dementia. At the end, they couldn't even come into the office and accompany the loved one who was getting their eyes examined. And when the patient died, I would think that they would feel this relief, but they feel even much more depressed than they were, and so unhappy taking care of their loved one who has dementia. Talk about those emotions. It's a very strange situation and very sad in a lot of ways.
There are so many complex and intense emotions that come up for caregivers of someone with Alzheimer's. And imagine the intensity of the emotions coming up for the person who is experiencing Alzheimer's. I mean, we often hear this caregiver perspective, and I think it's such an important one, because caregivers are often, like, they're kind of on the sidelines. The patient, the doctors are usually focused on the Alzheimer's patient, right? And nobody's turning to the caregiver to ask, how are you? How are you doing? And I think part of that conversation, one, it's dynamic, it's constantly changing. And for caregivers, there's this feeling of love, of course, and compassion for the person that they're caring for, and also the burden and the guilt and so much else that comes with it. But growing old together is a privilege that's denied to many. So I think there's also a ton of gratitude. And there is this opportunity to expand and to amplify the connection and the love, and to basically be trying to connect rather than correct our loved one with dementia. Whenever we have the opportunity to lean in, to apologize sometimes, even if it's not our fault, right? But we have the opportunity to make eye contact, to feel the feels together, to get vulnerable together, to connect, there's this sense that caregiving can become one of the most satisfying parts of our lives. And it's finite, right? It doesn't last forever. Sometimes it lasts longer than we expect or longer than we want. But there is this opportunity, as someone is suffering with dementia, to be grateful for the time that we do get with them, for the memories that we do make, that their grandchildren and great-grandchildren actually get to meet them, right? Because the alternative is that they're not there at all. Now, the other component of this is what happens after. And I see many caregivers, because they are so dedicated to their loved one, they kind of give up their own life and just focus on taking care of the person suffering with dementia. And I think that is actually does everyone a disservice. So instead of becoming a martyr, we recommend, this is the first thing I tell caregivers, if you do nothing else, I want you to have an 8-hour block every week that you is dedicated only to you and caring for you. You are not allowed to go take care of grandkids. You're not allowed to go take care of your daughter. You must use that time to take care of you. And this does two things. One, it forces them to create a backup plan for if they're unavailable to their loved one. And two, it forces them to maintain their own identity so that when the caregiving phase of life is over, they're not left with nothing.
You know, in Lancet, they have the risk factors for Alzheimer's or dementia. Can you go through the risk factors? So the people listening at home, this Dr. Sanderson is kind enough, is going to stay for another part, and we're going to have part two next week. But if you could go through some of those risk factors, because these are common things that everyday people have, but it's something that not only will help your eyes and your heart, but it helps your brain. It's just part of functional medicine. You know, functional medicine, you know, Dr. Bredesen talks about 36 holes in the roof, and I think he added a couple more, maybe has 38 holes in the roof, and you could plug a couple of the holes, but still, if you have the other holes, the rain is still going to come into the house. So you really need a holistic approach to be able to fix all these things. And we talked a lot about diet and things at the beginning, but talk about the risk factors that were in Lancet to increase your risk of getting dementia.
Yeah, and just to set the context for this a little bit more, so the Lancet is a very, very reputable journal out of the UK, and they basically take information and data and research from all over the world, and then they combined it, they analyzed it to create this commission report on dementia and Alzheimer's, which came out originally in 2017 and then was updated in 2020. And they have added risk factors to this list over the years. And they essentially suggest that 40% of worldwide dementias could be preventable. Now, I think that that number is much, much higher, that if we are assessing all of these factors and putting it into the conceptual framework that Dr. Bredesen and I use, that we would be able to prevent at least double that. And so, you know, just to set the stage that this is conventional, this is very reputable, this is not some wild granola, you know, out there functional medicine thing that isn't well accepted. It is, and it's common sense. It's just not talked about often enough. So many people don't know that this list exists. So what is on it? High blood pressure. This is a modifiable risk factor when it comes to dementia. In fact, in this Lancet Commission report, there's this amusing perspective that they have. The only known medication to prevent dementia is antihypertensives. So none of the medications for dementia prevent it from progressing. The only known medication to prevent dementia are the ones that control your blood pressure. Smoking.
Let me interrupt you for a second. But some of the blood pressure medicines also increase the risk of having memory loss, such as the ACE inhibitors and the ARBs, because they interfere with norepinephrine and epinephrine.
And so beta blockers.
And beta blockers as well. Yeah. Could decrease your memory. So how do you square that with having control of your blood pressure? And that brings us back to lifestyle and diet and to try to do it in a more natural way, possibly. But talk about that. I know that's a difficult problem for a physician when you see patients. So that's something that you have to think about.
Yeah. So we start by lowering blood pressure through diet and exercise and stress management as well. Breath work, meditation, prayer practices, managing our stressors has a huge impact on blood pressure, but so does diet and exercise. And we can also use herbs that help to reduce blood pressure and control blood pressure, and potassium. Potassium alone is a blood pressure modulator. And if your blood pressure is kind of on the edge, that can be a great place and very safe place to start is oral potassium. Now, talking to your doctor about what are my risk factors, lisinopril helps with kidney function. It's nephroprotective. So if you have a lowering GFR, if there's concern about losing kidney function, then maybe that's the one to use. I tend to start with hydrochlorothiazide if I need to use mechanism. Loop diuretic. It is a diuretic. Yeah.
But lisinopril is an
ACE inhibitor.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
But I mean, it's a very common medicine. I'm just bringing up this as a fact to show how difficult it is, because we try to help one thing, but obviously if your blood pressure is too high, you could wind up with a stroke or a heart attack. So that, you know, that could supersede things until we get the blood pressure under control. But you mentioned herbs for blood pressure. Since you mentioned it, I got to ask you, what herbs are good for blood pressure?
So Ruelfia is one that comes to mind immediately. And this is an Ayurvedic herb, but it is a low-dose herb. So it can be toxic in too high of doses. And so you want to work with a well-trained provider if you're going to look at some of the alternatives for antihypertensives.
How about statins affecting your memory?
Yeah. So the issue is that like you're describing, we're trying to thread this needle. We want to control the risk factors like high cholesterol and high blood pressure that might lead to vascular dementia, but we don't want to take on the side effects that are associated with the medications that do that pretty well. And so the best thing to do is diet and exercise and stress management. That is the best way to approach this, but that's not accessible for everyone. For some people, they just need that pill that's going to reduce their risk factors. And instead of using statins, we like to use cholestyramine, which is a binder that helps to bind bile. And then Zetia, it hasn't been around for too long. I've used it with patients for the past 18 months or so, or maybe 12 months or so. And what we've seen is that works effectively, especially for hyperabsorbers. And this is a way to get around the statin medications. But of course, high fiber diets also help to reduce the risk of high cholesterol. And then making sure we're focused on those good fats, avoiding the combination of high fat, high sugar diets.
And Valium and Xanax can also affect memory. Is that correct?
Benzodiazepines and also antihistamines can basically alter the neurotransmitters in the brain that can impact cognition negatively.
So somebody that's taking Benadryl every day, that certainly could affect things.
Yeah, we want to try to get away from that, use supplements and other natural sleep support, things like melatonin, magnesium, GABA, theanine, taurine. Those are the types of amino acids that can help us get better, higher quality sleep. Even inositol prevents the production of amyloid plaques and helps us to get to sleep. So there's lots of alternatives for sleep.
Dr. Heather Sanderson, I want to thank you for joining me this week on Open Your Eyes with Dr. Kerry Gelb. I'm so excited that you're here. We're on AM 1280 of the Patriot. And Dr. Sanderson has been kind enough to join us again next week, where we're going to really dive deep on things you could do to reverse problems with cognition, dementia. And pick up her book, Reversing Alzheimer's. It's now a bestseller on the New York Times list. We'll see you next week.
When I found out I was pregnant, I panicked. I was afraid, feeling pressured. I didn't know what else to do.
I was 9 weeks along and didn't know there were other options.
I didn't know the baby already had a beating heart.
I didn't know there were couples waiting to adopt. I called a confidential hotline and learned the facts. I found an option that both my baby and I can live with.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. So often we get calls just like this from men and women seeking help and alternatives. Our 800 hotline connects callers to the services they need for pregnancy, adoption, as well as post-abortion assistance. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of confidential counseling or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or check us out on the web, prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible.
Pro-Life Across America.
AM 1280, the Patriot.
Whether a first-time or regular rider, rail safety is important. Always walk, never run. No riding skateboards, scooters, or bikes in stations or on platforms. Stand back and stay behind the painted or raised markings. Wait until the train stops to approach the door. And if you drop an item onto the tracks, never try to retrieve it. See tracks? Think train. For more info, visit OLI.org.